Hello, 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 hello. Welcome to Rover Talk. Dan, how are you today?
I'm good.
Good?
Yeah.
Today we've got a lot to talk about. We have been absent for actually quite a while, and we're sorry about that, but our travel schedules seem to be never actually coincide. So we just haven't had enough time to sit down, but we've got a lot to tell you about my trip to Spain. Dan's been doing some tasty stuff to one of his L322s. There's a lot of interesting stuff available for sale right now at auction. Anyway, Dan, I know I asked you before, but how are you doing?
Okay.
Good?
Yeah.
How have these days been in Chicago in the transition from summer to who knows what we're in?
Well, it was pretty dramatic. You know, I was out the other night, and it was...
Like, by the way, were you riding a motorcycle?
Yeah.
Were you riding a motorcycle?
Don't tell
Renee. Sorry, I was riding a motorcycle.
I just got goosebumps. Yeah, it was a fantastic bike. It's a Moto Guzzi V7.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Those are great looking bikes.
Yeah, it was pretty sexy. So as I was saying, it was like 85 and then 45 the next night, and so it has finally become fall here in Chicago, which I love.
I hate the fall.
Why?
Because I know you're no, know because you're the fall, because the fall tells you that winter is coming.
Oh yeah. So you know, I took a couple of weeks off, and you know, just kind of traveling all over, and the disco and trails at the farm, and you came down. Hung out. We did some crazy stuff.
Shall we say what we did?
Yeah. I mean, you know, why not?
All right. Well, some person related to Dan has abandoned, and I say this properly, abandoned a VW Corrado G60 with livery from Schwinn. Is it right?
Yeah, from Schwinn.
Okay,
yeah.
Schwinn. Kind of wacky looking car. Anyway, that car has been abandoned at Dan's property, Dan's farm. But it's not like it's in the backfield, you know, way out in the middle. No, it's literally, as you drive in, it's basically along with the house, the first thing you see.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I've ever mentioned it here, but my first vehicle in Spain was a red 1989 German imported to Spain VW Corrado G60. And... as many of us have.
Also a manual, right? Yeah, I would assume it was a manual.
Manual. Yeah, manual. Basically the same spec. Mine had cloth instead of leather. That was the only difference. So basically, I've been trying to buy that car for a while. And it's not that Dan doesn't want to sell it to me. It's just not in his name while it has been living on his property for,
10 years.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Anyway, Dan and I... it takes very little for us to get an idea and actually execute it. And so as we were sitting out there at a table with in the shade at his wonderful farm with Renee, Dan says to me, I bet that, what was it? I bet we should take a wheel off to see what those brakes look like.
Yeah, because we were... Always under the understanding that it was frozen.
So wait, I need to give a little bit of a preamble here. So the car has started to kind of almost sink into the ground.
Kind of.
It's on soft grass, or what was grass before, and it basically just sits there. It hasn't been started in 10 years, and nobody apparently wants it other than me. Well, I'm sure if people knew about it, someone would want it. Anyway. So the car has sunk a little bit, and Dan looks at me and says, you know what, we should take one of those wheels off and to see what the brakes look like, because our assumption was that the brakes were seized, right?
Because it had to move, yeah.
And it's kind of, as much as the Corrado is beautiful, it's kind of an eyesore at a farm to have a car that's been abandoned there right smack in the center of your property, like front and center. So we took it upon us to take a wheel off, right?
Yeah.
And...
well, I think I said I could have that wheel off in like 3 minutes. Let's just take a look.
And it took you about 60 seconds.
Yeah.
It took them longer to go to the garage, get the jack, and come back. That took a lot longer than actually the wheel off.
Yeah.
We inspected the brakes, and they were indeed seized. They were very rusty, but strangely enough, the rest of the car, which we've inspected, I've inspected before.
There's no rust.
There's no rust on
it. It's crazy.
And we can't really understand why. Anyway, so at that point we decided...
Like literally no rust. We're not saying like, you know, it has surface rust and it has no rust. It has no rust.
Yeah, it literally... And I've lifted the carpet up from the boot and I've taken out the, you know, I've looked around the window, so everything. It literally, it has no rust. And we don't really understand how it's humanly possible, except for the brake parts. And I think that's due to the fact that there was, between the brake and the wheel, hub and the wheel, there was a shield.
Like a decorative shield?
To make it look black?
Yeah, to, you know, make it look solid. I don't know, which is weird because the rims on this car are white, but they're like these black, like, covers. Yeah. Anyways, as you were saying, the moisture probably, like, made the calipers and the everything else kind of rust up.
So we then proceeded to remove the brake pads, remove the caliper, remove the brake pads, put the caliper back on so that we could roll. And then we went on to another wheel, and the fourth wheel. And that car has finally abandoned its sitting place for the past 10 years, has now moved.
Well, the other funny thing is the two front wheels were toast and wouldn't hold air. The back wheels held air. Front ones didn't. We just happen to have a couple of spare Corrado wheels. I don't know why, laying around, and we pumped
these aren't like those.
They're not common.
Actual Corrado wheels. Yeah. They're not
different color, but they were actually the correct size and Corrado wheels. And so we put them on, pushed it, and the other thing that was really weird is, I mean, it's not that heavy of a car, but like. The property is pretty huge, and surprisingly, the car, like, almost pushed itself. Like, I've never seen, like, a car, like, freely kind of just roll itself, like, and across a property.
And not a single grinding noise, not a
no
single,
squeals,
like
nothing.
Like, of course, you know, at that point, we had disconnected all the brakes. There were literally no brake pads in any of the calipers, because we figured that would be easier than try to, you know, get the calipers off. But anyway... So we finally moved that car, and now all we need is that car to go to my garage and come back to life. I don't want to do it, but well, I do want to do it. I really want to go there. I mean, the only thing is, I did smell the gas, and it smelled kind of orange.
Yeah, we'd have to take that tank out, but that's not that hard.
But I would bet you that car would actually still. Because remember, we checked it one time, and it had oil.
Yeah.
And the oil didn't even look bad.
The oil looked good. Yeah.
I'm sure that car needs to come to me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So I took a couple weeks off, did some traveling around, you know, I took you out on the trail. We kind of hit the creek a little hard the first go around, which was hilarious, but then you took it around. And so we had some fun. It was a good couple weeks. And then I've been kind of tweaking, as you mentioned, my 06 Range Rover. I recently kind of have climbed down the rabbit hole of turning it into an overland vehicle. So I bought a Front Runner rack because they were having a sale over Labor Day. And as we all know, they're expensive racks and they rarely have kind of a sale. So I was like, all right, I'll get the rack and you know, see how it looks on there. You know, I had a couple issues with shipping back and forth with Front Runner, and which they were, you know, happy to help resolve. It was, I think, mainly FedEx's issue. So if you are planning on ever buying Front Runner, you know, they give you the option of how to ship it. I chose FedEx and wasn't the greatest, but it's now installed with a lot of tweaking. Some of you may have, you know, bought that rack for your Range Rover, and you know that it's basically a DIY sort of project. The kit that they sell you to install it really is kind of useless. You're better off, you know, working with kind of the existing internal rails that you have to make it work. But I think it ended up looking great. It's beyond solid. I mean, it's probably more solid than the way that they recommend to do it, without doing any damage to your car. So, the end result, I think it looks good.
It looks pretty awesome.
Yeah. And as you know, we did, Ivan and I did the suspension on it. So, and actually, when you saw it today, did you think it had like a massive lift in comparison? Like when you're like standing next to it? I mean, I wouldn't say massive. It's not like it's like
no, but
huge, but it definitely has like...
We measured it when we... Remember, we did measure it when we right when we put it back on. But yeah. I don't think we measured after the suspension settled.
Yeah.
And we also measured it against mine, which has airbags. So who knows if the airbags are holding at the exact height that they should have from the very beginning.
Right. I think we kind of like...
Didn't we decide it was about an inch and a half?
Yeah, it was a pseudo 2-inch kind of lift. You know, obviously, as you know, it would be permanent because I stripped the air right out of it, because I do plan on riding it really hard, actually, as I continue this rabbit hole of the overland at the farm. So it's kind of what I've been kind of doing with that car, is just kind of building it out. And, you know.
So we were having this discussion before we switched the recording on. Dan was asking me about front bumpers.
Yeah, because literally right before you came, I was like, oh, shoot. You know, and I was like, I'm going down this rabbit hole. Let me look at, like, bumpers. I've seen a couple of L322s that have, like, the what I call the LR3 kind of bumper, where it's kind of like a cross between, I don't know how to explain it, but it's like an H almost, that just kind of attaches, you know, to the, you know how the LR3 has like almost like parallel bars like are like right on the front of the,
yeah,
the, so I've seen like that. I've seen the ones that are kind of pseudo ARB, and you know, I don't know what direction. I literally have only spent the last 30 minutes kind of starting on that. And your take on it was basically just adding to the look and not taking from the look?
Yeah, my take, or at least my personal preference, is that, or the way I like it, is that whatever you add on to it has to be something where you don't have to take off. So that's why I was never a fan of like the ARB bumpers, right? They're right. Boxy, and I'm sure they're very useful, and I'm sure they're much better than the bumpers that came on the car. But I like to keep a philosophy where everything that I do to a car, I have to be able to revert to the way it was before without removing original parts off.
And then, and is it a twofold thing where you think someday if I want to go back and then sell it as original, or you like it just for the integrity of like... the design of it you want to maintain? Like, for example, my that I'm doing this build on, as you know, is almost 200,000 miles. I'm never going to, like, ever, not that I paid, you know, anything for that car, but, like, I'll never gain on that car.
Yeah, and you're probably not going to go back on any of the mods that you do. That's true.
Yeah.
And it's not so much for that. I just think that the lines of the Range Rover, of the L322, are very beautiful.
Yeah.
And once you do a mod that takes off a part to put something aftermarket on, excuse me, something that wasn't originally designed for the vehicle, I think that takes away from it. Yeah. I think it's cool when you add. So, for example, you added the roof rack. I think it looks great. Something that you could take off. And you did it the right way, which is not drilling into the hole of the roof like they say, like ARB, yeah, tells, like
Front Runner tells
you to do.
Yeah.
So those are all mods that you could go back on. You painted the front grille and you painted the gills. All right, those are things that you could go back on. You're not taking away original parts from the vehicle.
So then what about like lamp guards?
Lamp guards? Yeah, lamp guards are good. The only problem is you got to drill on most.
Right. That's kind of what I'm saying. Well, I got to drill, but
I mean, I mean, that's not the worst case scenario, because you could, you know, cover that up. You could weld another piece of metal on there and paint it back up.
Yeah.
You know, it would be a pain in the ass to do, but you're not specifically taking a whole part off.
Right. Yeah.
So you're not taking off a rear or front bumper. You're not
taking off a line.
Or you're not taking off, or it's like when, you know, when sometimes when people take off the like parts of the rocker panels to fit, you know, rider bars underneath or stuff like that. Or
right.
So that's at least my personal, it's kind of like when you see these 4x4 builds where they've cut off the back part of, or the front part of the fender because they want to fit higher clearance and a bigger bar and bigger tires.
Yeah.
That's where, to me, you're kind of just, you know, you're doing a chop job. And I get it that people want to do that for sure, but it ruins the lines of a car that's already beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're modifying, you know, a 1990s Chevy F1 or Chevy truck, then yeah, go for it. You know, take everything off. But the Range Rover and Land Rovers in general, I think maintaining the original lines and then adding is what makes it have the best look versus taking off parts and adding aftermarket parts.
Totally. Okay.
And I think that somebody out there needs to design a bumper, one of these off-road bumpers, like the ARB bumpers, that is a little bit more in tune with what was originally on there. I think there's, because all these bumpers that usually have the winches on there, they're really boxy. They're trapezoidal shape. They're
very sharp.
They kind of lose. And if you look at a Range Rover per se, it doesn't have any super sharp edges anywhere, right? There's not, in the design, aside from the doors, there's not a 90-degree angle anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, right? it looks like it could be a 90-degree angle because it's such a box, but in reality, like...
Yeah, it's actually, the lines are a lot smoother than you would think. So it's a boxy, but it's not, you know, straight up square.
Yeah.
So that's where, but that's my two cents anyways.
So let's talk about the market. So what have you've been traveling, and we'll get to your travel, but what's your take on the market like lately?
Well, I'm seeing some strong prices for a lot of pretty cool stuff. It's a shame that last we saw a few days ago, or yesterday actually, a 74 diesel Series 3 88 that is, I don't know if it's restored, semi-restored, kind of restored.
You're talking about the yellow one?
From Costa Rica, the yellow one.
Yeah. I thought that had a strong...
I thought that was a good price. I thought that was a good-looking car.
Yeah.
I mean, it seemed to have a good amount of virginity, really clean underneath, by the way. So I like where the market is. I think it's strong. I think we're not, you know, in crazy 2021 pricing. But I think that ship has sailed and we're going into more, you know, more normal price range. I really like that that P38 that sold for 80 plus. Then again, it only had 10,000 miles.
Oh yeah.
That one's for sure going into some
I mean, it's definitely gonna, you know, just sit somewhere. I don't think anybody's gonna drive it. I think a lot of people thought it was gonna break six figures, and then it just came to a screeching halt and kind of just stopped at a bid that was that bid for a couple days. But you know, that's still a really strong number for a P38. I think the market's still super unpredictable. Like, you know, we're seeing a few more bid twos than we normally have been seeing. But I think people's expectations are, you know, still 2021, like kind of like what we've talked about. And then there's been some really fantastic buys. Like there was that green 91 Range Rover that sold for $9,000, even though it had super high miles. I thought it was, I mean, $9,000, you can't, you know, you can't go wrong with
no,
it.
No, that...
It had been painted recently. It had, you know, it was kitted out a little bit. Had good tires. Like, I just think, you know, that was an off day for that. And whoever bought that got I thought an incredible buy for $9,000.
Because I'm pretty sure that engine can be rebuilt for probably $6,000 or $7,000.
Oh yeah.
If you take it to the right place, and then you've got yourself a freshly rebuilt, you know, good looking repainted classic for $16,000, and I think that's a hell of a deal.
Yeah, like I think that was probably the buy, you know, over the last couple months. Everybody thought the Michael Jordan P38 was.
What did that one end at? I missed that.
That was only $25,000 because it was, you know, he only owned it for like a minute, and then, you know, they repainted it.
But didn't, and it had a replacement engine, right? So it wasn't even in full original spec.
And then it was a Illinois car for 25, you know, 20
oh, yeah.
some years, so it was pretty toasted. So I think they were just kind of relying on the fact that it was a Michael Jordan car. But to me, it's a win-win, because the even though it didn't sell, like, the owner obviously enjoyed it, because they put a ton of miles on it over the last 20 years, and, you know, they got to enjoy it. So, you know, to me, it's like, even though they probably wanted $75,000 for it, they still got to enjoy it, and you live once, and you kind of move on, so.
Yeah. The other one that I was, that this was before my trip about 3 weeks ago, that I was extremely surprised about, was that 300 TDI right-hand drive auto disco. Remember the one that, I mean, I hope the buyer knows what they were getting into with this car. This car was toast underneath. It had some serious.
What color was it?
It was green. It was Ardennes, I believe.
Oh yeah, that one. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, from the outside, it's a looker, but once you start looking underneath, you're like, ooh, wait a second. There are many different spots on this car.
I mean, I would say, like, and I'm not going to say 100% never buy a UK truck, but, I mean, I've said this before, like, I wouldn't buy a UK truck unless I personally was in front of this truck. Like, I don't trust them. Like, they rot. Like, there's no tomorrow. Like, and I'm all for right-hand drive, but some of these UK ones are toast, and there's a reason why they fail out of...
But here's the thing. Kudos to the seller, because the seller actually went and did what you many times cannot do during a pre-purchase inspection on these cars, which is unscrew the plastic sill plate that holds in the carpet and lift that up.
Yeah.
And there's a picture during this auction that I don't even know how to go at it. It's bad. But the other thing too is on the positive side, if you're half handy and you know how to weld, the floor panels for all these are cheap.
They're all available. They're cheap. They're like,
there's even a guy that sells the sill kit from the UK, so you can do the sills on these cars.
I mean, that just tells you how prone they are.
Yeah. Well.
And then one of my other favorite things on here, which actually didn't sell for that much, even though I'm not like, you know, I tend to really like Land Rover engines, but that 85 110 pickup that just sold yesterday.
Yeah, that one.
That was only 25. Like, I think even though it had the Isuzu engine in it, that engine itself is a workhorse. It's been around for 20 some years. It's a great engine, but it's still a 4-speed. But the configuration of this truck for me, I thought, is awesome. I would love that at my farm.
I'm always wondering, with this type of vehicle, that, you know, I'd love for people to say, oh, I'm going to use it for this. I'm just curious.
Well, that's just it. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I think it didn't sell for, you know, above 40, is because it's so niche. Like, you really need someone, you know, and I didn't even buy it. Like, you need someone that actually is going to use this truck. It's not like you're, you know, going to, you know,
I don't. You know what it would be perfect for? For putting a camper on the back.
Well, yeah, well, someone suggested that in there, and I was like, that's a great idea, but then...
And in fact, I'll get to this in a second, but last week, when I was in the city of Pamplona, I was walking by, and all of a sudden I saw that exact model. I can't. I don't know if it was an if it was a 110 or a Defender 110, but it had some type of camper that fit it perfectly, and I was thinking, this isn't custom made. Somebody sells this.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea who it is?
No.
It was actually really cool.
And the other thing that might have held us back too, of course, is always right-hand drive. Like, even though that you have no issues with sight lines and stuff with this configuration of this pickup, it's still a right-hand drive. So, but I thought that was a cool one. And then the usual, you know, L322s that are, you know, popping up every day on here, but it's always the Mark IIIs. And then, you know, we're seeing a little bit of slowdown with the NASAs. They're selling, you know, in that realistic price range where I always say, like, NASAs to me really are only worth in that 65 to 85 range, depending on condition, and that's kind of where things are kind of settling right now. We're not seeing any, like, six-figure ones. I just think the market's adjusted to you know, other markets, so...
Yeah, for sure.
And we know the economy is kind of touchy right now, so...
Yes.
All right, so let's talk about your buying trip. You just went to Spain for, what, 10 days, 11, 12 days?
No, actually, I went 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Full
2 weeks.
Full 2 weeks, so 14.
As you know, Ivan goes to the homeland, his homeland, every few months to look for stuff. And from the sounds of it, it sounded like it was a pretty good trip.
It ended up being, I just closed the last deal today, just today. It's not a Land Rover, but it's a W124 Mercedes Coupe 320 with the Jetrag dogleg 5-speed and 80,000 miles, 134,000 kilometers. Couldn't pass it up. Immaculate.
So it's a sedan.
No, coupe.
Oh, coupe. So
yeah.
Two-door. And color?
You know, one of those grays that the Mercedes had, dark grays that they all look the same, but they're called grays and blah. I think this one, it has a tint of blue. Cloth seats, Jetrag 5-speed, 320, which is the six-cylinder, the biggest one they made.
And what year did you say it was?
93 manufacture, 94 registration.
So would that be like the year where it's, is it two-tone, meaning like does it have like
no.
lower body?
No, it's single-tone.
You know how like some of those have like,
yeah.
So it's all, oh, awesome.
And very low mileage, two known owners, and I just couldn't pass it up. But anyway, it has been the hell of a strange trip for me. It's been good because I bought what I wanted to buy, but I have had some weird experiences this trip with buying cars. So I'll tell you the first one. There's a dealership outside of the city of León in the north of Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And León has high-speed train going there. So you can get there from the middle of the city of Madrid in 2 hours.
Driving from Madrid, it's 2 hours?
No. Driving from Madrid, it's like 3.5.
Okay.
And you got to, you know, keep a pace if you want to do that. But by high-speed train, it takes you 2 hours.
Okay.
And the high-speed train is ridiculously cheap. So there's a dealership out there that specializes in 4x4s. I bought a car from them about 4 years ago. I called them up. I was actually in the city of Pamplona. I had gone to see a Land Cruiser. When I got to the Land Cruiser, I don't know how it was holding up because it was full of Bondo everywhere. So I passed on that. I picked up the phone. I had this in my list of cars to see. I called the guys. They were like, oh, yeah, sure, come in. I got on a train from Pamplona to León. Made it too late because they were already closed. But they said, don't worry, we'll pick you up in the morning. So I found a hotel, stayed there. Anyway, they picked me up in the morning. I looked at the Range Rover. It was a two-door turbo. It was like yours.
Okay.
Like your Range Rover. So Range Rover Classic, I think it was 91. A little bit higher on the miles, but it was good. The only thing I asked them was, it looked kind of dull, and I said, do you have some compound? And they said yes, and I just like buffed out one little corner. I saw that the paint didn't need to be repainted, so I'd come back. Done deal. Like, I was there at the dealership for all of 45 minutes, right? Like, when I go buy cars, I'm not a tire kicker. I buy, right? I'm there, and I'll pay you right there. And that day, I went with cash. Anyway, I had seen a classic that I liked. So I called the guy when I was in the U.S. a few days before going. I said, I don't know if you remember me, but I bought a car from you, blah, blah, blah. I see this car on your website. I'd love to see it. I'm getting in on whatever it was, Thursday at, you know, I have the 7 o'clock train, so I'll be there at 9 o'clock. So they pick me up, and they drive me to the dealership, which is on the outskirts of the city, 50 minutes away. So the outskirts in Spain aren't really like outskirts here in Chicago. Anyway, by the way, the guy picked me up in a Renault 5 GT Turbo.
Really?
Which isn't not the one that has the engine in the mid-engine.
Yeah.
But like the somewhat racy version they made for the street. And that car was a hoot.
Really?
That was fun. It's a shame I think they never caught on here in the U.S. because people remember the Le Car, which was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Sorry for my language. Anyway, I get to the dealership. He parks in front, and they've got a warehouse and a side lot. And I look at the side lot, and there are 3 discos and 5 classics. And so I look at the guy who I hate to say this, but I think he was like stoned. I look at him and I say, I'm not going to say his name. I say, well, you didn't tell me you had all these cars. So at that point, my perspective changes. I'm thinking, okay, we're going to make a package deal today.
Yeah.
So I tell him, hey, look, I literally said, I'm interested in all of them. So I told the guy, I said, why don't you grab a battery and let's get them started out. Bring me out the paperwork on each one, see what we've got, what the titles are saying and all that. And so we start off with a disco, 300 TDI. It was a good looking car, 4-door, lower mileage. That one starts up. I leave that one running because the heat never got to temperature, and I was thinking, I don't want a car without heat. But anyway, the dash was a little warped. I would have bought that car.
Yeah.
But the heat didn't work, so then I didn't want to buy it. Anyway, from there, I go to another one. And the next one I did was a classic, a 300 TDI Alpine White 4-door 5-speed manual. We got that one started right away, too. The steering pump whined. And they put steering fluid in, and the guy was trying to tell me, oh, it's just low on steering fluid. And I'm like, well, the steering fluid doesn't consume, so it's got to be leaking somewhere. I can probably tell you where it's going to be. Anyway, we couldn't get the steering pump to stop whining, so I was like, it just needs a new pump. He's like, no. I'm like, it needs a new pump. I've had 16 of these. Don't worry about it. Pump's $150. Not the other one. I'm going to buy it anyways. And then we go to a very nice-looking 4-door VM 2.5 1987-88. All of these were pretty good looking, but they all needed work. For example, all of them needed paint because all of them, the paint was worn. So that was the second. Then I went to another 300 TDI. That was an Alpine White that was a little bit modded. That one I was suspicious of for a couple of reasons. When I looked at the gauge cluster, right, they had on the Speedo and the rev counter, they had like 2 little Land Rover stickers, and I was thinking, those aren't there normally. And I'm thinking, someone's opened this up.
Yeah.
Which made me suspicious. But later on in the day, I called one of my guys, and I said, can you look this one up at the DMV? And it actually had traceable mileage throughout its history. So that one, I knew, had the mileage that I thought it had. Anyway, that one there. And then we go to the gold mine. So I move over to the other side of the yard, and there's a Vogue LSE 5-speed manual. So the Vogue LSE is basically your county LSE, which was here in the U.S.
Yeah.
Or, well, it wasn't...
Just a county, right?
It wasn't LSE, it was SE.
Yeah.
So all the options, you know, 5-speed manual, reasonable mileage. It was a great... It went Westminster gray, great color.
Yeah.
And then next to it was...
Was it a petrol or was it diesel?
No, it was 3.9.
Yeah, 3.9.
Next to it is another 3.9 two-door. In a very... was there a shade of blue that started with gray, like gray lake blue or something like that? Or, well, anyway, that one needed a lot of work. That one also started. And then...
Why, did it look like a gray blue?
No, it looked like a very light blue.
And it wasn't like Avalon?
But it wasn't Avalon. By the way, I saw an Avalon car. I'll tell you about that one in a second. Anyway, so at this point, I've been there for a couple of hours. I've started all the cars. I took out my notebook and I started taking my notes on every single car because I don't want to... At that point in time, when you're
not... Well, then you start, like, mixing up, well, this has this, exactly. And this has that, and this, but so, this had that.
Yeah, so what I did was I just made my notes, and I said, okay, well, this one...
Plus, gonna minuses need, of each.
Yeah, need this, anyway. And then, right in the... Behind one of the... Well, then I see... The last one I saw was another Disco. And this was also 300 TDI, kind of lowish mileage. But this one already had the traction control light on, the transfer case light on.
Yeah.
So that one I was almost kind of discarding already because I didn't want to deal with that. And behind that was a BMW 7 Series, one of the ones that I like.
Yeah.
E32, 740, short body, 6-speed manual.
And what year was that?
94. Or no, this one was 95. Unbelievably rare. So at that point... and then the other one that I saw was they had a 3-door Disco with 60,000 original kilometers on it. That's 40,000 miles, 200 TDI. Problem with that one, underneath. It had lived on the coast.
Oh.
And you could tell. But the car was worth, I mean, it's worth it, worth, actually, that car, just because of the mileage and the general condition of it, if you have to throw a few grand at it to have it separated chassis from the body and the chassis just scraped, because it didn't have holes.
Yeah.
It just had surface rust.
Yeah.
But you want to tackle that properly. It didn't need a new chassis or anything like that. Anyway, so at this point, I've been there for a couple of hours, and I'm noticing, too, that these guys are kind of like, they're being helpful, but not like super helpful. And I'm thinking, well, I'm sorry to bother you, but isn't it your job to sell cars? And I'm here telling you that I'm interested in buying 8 different cars.
Yeah.
Right? You think... But anyway. So I go back into the offices. I ask them for a little bit. I said, well, let me call my partner. I didn't have anybody to call, but I just needed to like settle down and rethink things.
Yeah.
So I got on the phone and called my father, and it was like, just tell me what you're doing, because I'm here, you know, playing dumb at the dealership and stuff like that. He's used to getting those calls, so he's like, oh, well, this morning I was telling you what I did during the day.
Yeah.
Anyway, I would have called you, but I was going to wake you up at 4 in the morning.
So. All right.
I mean, like, damn. Anyway, so I make up my mind, and I'm thinking, okay, the Vogue SE, I'm going to be outpriced on, because those have high value in Spain too. And I'm thinking that one's just, it's, you know, I'm only going to piss them off offering them half of what, you know, what they think it's worth and what they know it's worth. And that's okay. So that one I move. The 3 Discos, as of now, I'm thinking I'm going to leave those for secondary and I'm going to go with the rest of the classics. Right.
Mm.
So I've got 4 of them. So I've got a 300 TDI, a 2.5 VM, another 300 TDI with higher mileage, and a 3-door 3.9 V8 manual. So I sit down with them and the BMW.
Right.
The only problem is the BMW didn't start. So, and I know what's wrong with that one. It just needs a new the fuel pump or cleaned or new, because it's been sitting there for a while. So that one I kind of put off on the side. I'm like, well, let me start by saying the BMW, I need to hear it running. I know it's not a difficult thing to do. So... you know, we'll think about that one later, but just, and he's like, oh, well, this is our partner's car and we've got to make sure he wants to sell it. And I'm like, okay, that's good enough. So I make an offer on the rest of the cars, and my offers weren't insulting. They weren't wait. So I have to specify this part. Since only one car was listed, that was the only car I had a price reference on. And so when I told him, well, I'm interested in these other 3 Range Rovers, and I said, well, what are the prices? Oh, we don't have prices. Make us an offer. And I'm thinking, well, you know, I bought a car here before. You guys know that I know what they are. It's like, you know, at least give me a shot to see if we're in the ballpark. Anyway, so before making the offer, I make them specifically aware that I have my computer with me and that I can wire them money right then and there. So I'm like, you know, I said, you guys know me from before. I came here, I bought a car. Like, I don't have cash because I can't carry that much cash with me, but I have my computer here. I can finalize these transactions today. Right. And I can actually do instant transfers. So it's not like I'm going to beat around the bush and, oh, I'm going to pay you this one Thursday and next one Friday. And no. I'll pay you all cars. I can pay you all the cars right now. I make my offers. Guys look at them. In these cases, I always prefer to do it on a new piece of paper. And so I give you, I write them down, the numbers, because I think that way it's easier for them to see. Mm-hmm. Right? And that way we can, you know, we can chip away at one and another car without getting confused, them or me. So he takes the offers, barely even looks at them, and says, oh, okay, well, we'll get back to you tomorrow because we have to call our partner because there's three of us and only two were there. And I look at them and I go, pick up the phone, call him.
Yeah.
He's like, no, he's on vacation. Pick up the phone, call him. Like, it's easy. Either he likes my number, he counter-offers me, or it's a no, but pick up the phone and call him. It's a five-minute conversation. Well, he's not available because he's blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I cannot get those guys. So can you imagine walking here into a dealership and making an offer on four, potentially five cars with another three that could be included in there too, and the dealership letting you walk out of there with, we'll call you tomorrow?
Right.
I mean, are we... And I was kind of thrown aback because they didn't want to give me an answer that day. Anyway, so I have a few hours to kill because I've got a train back in at like 6 p.m. and it's about 2 o'clock at this point in time. So I go to the city center of León, which is a fantastic place. Fantastic place. There's a neighborhood right in the city center called the Barrio Húmedo, which means the wet neighborhood, full of little bars. And they all give you a tapa, and it's fantastic. So I spent the afternoon there. I had a great time by myself, which is rare for me. But anyway, so I know I'm going on and on here, Dan. Are you bored?
No.
Okay, good. If I'm doing too much,
I think we just want to know if you bought four cars.
Nothing.
Oh, my God.
So the result is nothing. The following day, no news. I'm texting the guy. Hey, what's going on? The following day. Texting, calling, what's going on? Voicemail, no answer. 3 days later, that is Tuesday. Oh, your offers are too low. Thank you so much. And I'm like, but wait.
No counter.
No counter?
Yeah.
No counter, nothing? Anyway, I was so set aback that I sat down with my father and I said, hey, have I been living away from Spain too long? Because I'm not understanding why. I'm not even, I mean, even if it is, like, at least tell me full price or nothing. But I never even got a price on three of the Range Rovers that I was offering. But BMW was left to nothing.
So what do you think really was
the
issue with those cars?
Like, honestly,
why wouldn't they have sold them?
Honestly, I hate to say this, and hopefully I'm wrong, and don't take it for like 100%, but I think that must not be their business. Because last time I went there, I paid cash. And that's probably why they made a deal with me like that.
Yeah.
But this time I was wiring money. And it's not like while I was there, I was the only customer there the whole morning.
And it was like just so like people get a visual. Like, we know what a car dealership looks like there. But sometimes in Spain, car dealerships are just in a warehouse of a person who sells cars. Was it like something that you legitimately would drive past and go, oh, there's a bunch of cars in a lot, let me look at those?
Absolutely. They had like a huge, huge sign on the side of the warehouse with the name of the business in green. You know, it's an industrial park.
Yeah.
So, you know, very much, you know, just like any classic car warehouse you would go to. Is it
kind of like the one we went to
the other day
with
a
friend?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay. That's okay.
So it's you drive by it, you know that. Plus, like, the side yard is street facing too, so you can see everything that's in the side yard, aside from what's inside.
Oh, okay, all right.
And I just don't understand. I don't know. I mean, seriously, I can understand. I mean, if I went there and offered a third of the price that they're asking, I can understand that they'd be like pissed off and like say screw you. But my offers weren't bad. Yeah. None of them on the car that I was going to get to, I offered 25% less than what than the price it was listed at.
Yeah.
And the other ones, I offered even more than what I would usually pay. Yeah. And I offered to buy all of them as is. So I said, you don't even have to worry about them. I said, the only thing I need from you is a recommendation for a paint shop, because I don't want to ship all these cars to Madrid and then ship them all the way back up north. Yeah. I said, if you guys have a paint shop...
Because the port that you ship out of is up north?
Is up north.
Yeah.
In fact, I even had clothes because I thought that I was going to buy one of the cars and drive them up to the port myself. Anyway, it was... I'm still appalled by this.
I mean, it's weird. I also don't want to sound, you know, not bigoted or whatever, but it's not like you were some, like, random, I mean, you live here, but you weren't like some random American over there, not speaking the language, not knowing the culture, just being like,
I don't have an aggressive,
like, I want cars, you know what I mean? Like, and just like, I have tons of cash, here you go. But it's a little bit different with you, which seems kind of weird that there'd be like that non-communication.
Exactly, because I don't have an accent in Spanish. I speak Spanish. Nobody would ever know I'm American.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, that is kind of weird that there was that sort of lack of like,
and I didn't shit on the cars either.
Respect.
Right? I was
right,
very
right.
much like, you know, this car looks great for this reason, and I love the fact that it's got this, this, and this, and this problem's not a big deal. Like, it's like with the steering pump. As I said, look, the steering pump is out. I said, it doesn't matter. It's $150. It's not a big deal.
And like you said, maybe just that's just not really, like, the real business that they're in. They probably sell cars, but, like, it's probably obviously not their...
I mean, they did have all of those cars outside, and all of the inside were, like Jeeps and Land Cruisers and stuff like that. Yeah. So maybe it's kind of their... I don't know.
So let's... Let's talk about something that you actually did. Can we talk about like one of my favorite buys that you bought?
Yes.
Just jump
yes.
into that story.
All right. Sorry, so I'm going.
You got the most insane, because I've never seen this sort of setup on a D1. But let's talk about the camper.
Okay. Let's talk about the camper. So, I'm in the south of Spain, and I've seen. In that day, three different cars that were all ginormous pieces of shit. Excuse my language here. Like, bad. I could spend a whole nother episode talking about the bad that I've seen on this trip. Anyway.
Because there are bad cars in Spain.
There are. Oh, yeah. And funny enough, the worst car that I saw was in the same town that I saw that one disco one time that had a hole that I could fit my my fist in the frame. Yeah. And that the floor wasn't really connected. Anyway. So I find this car, the camper, right?
Yeah.
So it's a 200 TDI.
Obsessed, by the way. And the picture will be...
It'll be the cover of this episode.
Yeah.
So it's a red 200 TDI, collar in red, 200 TDI, four-door disco, originally from the German market, imported to Spain in 94, so like 2 years after. It's a 92. And I saw it with this four-person tent properly mounted on top, to the point where the guy has installed some bars that are removable that bolt to the front bumper so that you can expand the tent over the length of the entire car.
Obsessed.
Right?
Yeah.
So I get to the guy's warehouse where I'm meeting him. Really nice guy. Like, extremely nice guy. And so he's got a pristine Santana 2A... that he's restored, one for restoration, and one about to finish, which was a pickup truck, Santana 2A as well. Great cars. And so I ask him, so, Jorge, what's the story on this one? And he says, well, honestly, I bought it a couple months ago from a guy that I know that has breakfast at the same bar I have breakfast at every morning at. And I was really excited because I thought, I'm going to take my daughters and my wife camping, and they're going to love it because I used to go camping when I was a kid. And he said, I brought it home, and my wife went up the ladder to get inside the tent in the roof of the car and said, if I have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, I'm going to die. I'm never going camping in this thing. So So my father and I, my father who always comes with me, here we are, we're literally, we're like on the floor laughing because just the way he told the story was hilarious.
Yeah.
So he pulls the car out. He's one of these guys that you want to buy a car from because he points out absolutely everything, right?
Yeah.
And the car's a little bit higher mileage. It's got like 220,000 kilometers. Not the highest, but...
And what is that, 140?
Yeah, 140 or so.
Yeah.
Nothing bad for Spanish standards, 135. And it's a little dirty inside, but the guy is also made. So the rear door, he's made a table out of the door card.
Love it.
And he's got a little stove that's portable inside and some water jugs and some other camping stuff. And I'm looking at him and I'm like, Jorge, I've got to tell you something here. I've been camping one time in my life.
Yeah.
I was probably 10 years old and I was at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. I never want to go camping. And so this is making me even more hilarious. Because at this point, the guy's selling a car that his wife doesn't want. I have no interest in camper, but I'm loving the look of it so much. So the guy pulls it out of his warehouse, right? And he drives it for a little bit with the camper on, which was... this whole situation at this point, it's just a hoot. So he brings the car out. And so... I'm looking at it as a whole, and I'm thinking, this car is really cool.
Keep in mind, just so we can paint a picture, is it Corlin red? Like, what color is it?
Corlin red.
The camper is?
Red and beige.
And it has circus stripes
on the
passenger side of it. Okay, continue.
Yeah. And so he drives it out. I don't even go up into the camper. And I'm like, well, Jorge, where's this camper from? He's like, well... Guy was obviously pretty handy because he had restored the Santanas that he had in there, and they were very well done.
Yeah.
And so he's like, well, I had this camper that was a trailer, and carrying a trailer is a pain in the ass. And he said, you have to get it insured. So what I did is I took out the camper from the trailer, and I made a custom mount onto the roof rack.
So basically it's a pop-up, just so everybody knows. So, and it's a clamshell pop-up. So the clam itself... is off of an existing like pull behind trailer.
Yes, a pull behind trailer.
Oh, okay. So then he built a platform then, obviously, right?
So he's got a roof rack on
because it does go into a clamshell, right?
It goes into a clamshell, and he built a custom platform so you could mount it on top of the disco.
What's crazy when you guys see this picture is it actually looks like it legitimately could have been a camper for a disco.
Absolutely.
Even like the brackets that this guy like ingeniously made for support where the bed is, it's like I am waiting with bated breath to see this thing in person.
And
to smell the mustiness of the canvas, but like I have to see this thing.
No, I the thing is the moment
And the back door opens with like the camper out and everything.
So yeah, no. You could the camper's only on the top. So what you do is you open up the clamshell. So you have to climb.
I'm already building an awning. Does it come with an awning?
No, but let's put one on.
Oh my god,
let's put one on.
Yeah,
like I'm all for it. I may as well just finish out kidding this thing because it's just really cool. Anyway, so what happens is that the clamshell opens up. There's two bars that the guy had custom made. He drilled two very small holes and made bases for the bars. In the front bumper.
In the bumper, right.
So the bars stand up perfectly straight.
Oh yeah, it looks legit.
You connect them to the clamshell, and then the whole thing is opened up. It's like your own little home up there. And so the thing is, you need a ladder to get up to the opening of the tent. Opening of the tent's on the side. So it's above the doors of the disco, is where the opening to get into the tent is.
Oh, okay. Well, they sell like tons of.
Well, he has a ladder. The guy gave me his ladder and everything, but the ladder doesn't look good. I needed to find something that's more cool.
Yeah.
Than that. Anyway, and I was thinking just for ease of use, I'm going to put the ladder on the back of the disco, so that way it's easier for you to open up and close the
clam. Because the clam opens from the back, right?
The clam opens from the back. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, it's actually the guy opened it up in 2 minutes. It was super easy. He closed it up in 2 minutes too. So. And he was like a head shorter than me, so.
And when it's closed, it's aerodynamic. Like
it looks so legit. It really does.
Yeah.
So, but the funny part is the buying part. So at this point in the day, I've bought another disco in the same day, and my trip hasn't been going as well as I wanted to in terms of my purchases. But I'm looking at this car outside in the sun, and with the camper, it just looks so cool. And my father's looking at me like you can't, you buying a camper? I'm like, no.
It's not like I'm going camping in it.
I'm not going camping. I haven't gotten that sick yet. So I look at Jorge. Jorge, to be honest with you, the car needs paint, which is going to get repainted because it deserves it, because that color in red is an amazing color.
Yeah.
I said, look, the car needs work. It needs to be professionally cleaned inside. It needs paint. We're going to have to put a ladder on the back. We're going to have to put a bull bar, some grill guards or something in the front because it just makes it look cooler. I said, look, I really do like it. I said, but I'm not going to offer you any, I couldn't offer you anything close to where what you're asking for. And the guy's like, look, to be honest with you, because we had already created a good relationship rapport at that point. He says, look, I just bought a house. My wife is up to the wazoo with all these projects that I have in here. Yeah. I need to get rid of it. And so he says, make me an offer. And I made him an offer. And he said, all right, let's
do
it.
Can he do the paint since, or he knows someone who does the paint? No,
no, I shipped it to my guy in Madrid because this is in the south. So it's not that much work yet.
Oh, okay.
So the car will be shipped tomorrow, actually.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, so
Be careful with that camper. But they're going to take that off the paint, obviously, right?
Oh, yeah, they're taking off the whole roof rack and everything.
Yeah, okay.
So at that point, what I also said is at that point, I hadn't even driven the car. So I'm making him an offer, and I said, Jorge, but why don't you show me how to put the clamshell back? That way I know how to put the trailer on, and let me drive it around. So I take it out for a drive. Drives really well, gearbox is solid, everything's solid. And when I stop, I turn on the heat, and the heat doesn't work.
All right.
Heater, blower motor does nothing. And so I'm like, Jorge, I'm really, really sorry, but we've got two options here. We can either, I can either go back on the deal, and I'm really sorry to do this because I should have checked this before, or, I need X amount discounted because I have to fix this because we can't send out a camper that doesn't have any heat.
Yeah.
So the guy's like, he looks at me and says, you know what? I didn't even check it when I bought it. It doesn't work. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I'll get it fixed. I'll get it fixed for you, and you'll have a fixed and working heat when you take the car.
Yeah.
And he's been sending me pictures because he did it himself. Took out the whole dash, fixed the blower motor, all that. So really nice guy. I'm very happy. I ended up buying that one. So what I want to do. So what I'm going to do to it is. What the paint shop is going to do is paint it. What we are going to do, that is you and me, is put the ladder on the back door,
because
that makes it easier for the clamshell. I think we need an awning.
Yeah.
I'd like to put some exterior lighting of some sort, but not lighting for camping, because I'm not interested in camping and whoever will do that. But I want to put a couple of spotlights on it or something like that. I did buy for it. I couldn't find a bull bar. But I found the grills, grills, which I think are really cool.
Yeah.
So I think those will go on it. And let's accessorize this a little
bit. So let me ask you this, since you ship on a monthly basis, basically. Does the clamshell add any sort of added obstacle as a shipping component? Or does the clamshell not have that much height that, like, because it looked pretty low.
I am going to say nothing. And I'm going to play dumb.
Oh, okay.
Because I know that there's a height. I shouldn't even be saying this, but there is a height limit for shipping on roll-on, roll-off ships. But the height limit doesn't really correspond to reality because the whole belly of the boat opens. So you could stick in there like 3 times the height of an actual vehicle.
Yeah.
But if you're over a certain height, they want to put you on the top deck.
Yeah.
And I don't want my car on the top deck in the middle of the sea for a month because then it will come back rusted. So I wanted to go in the belly of the boat. So I'm going to do what I've always done with the roof racks, which is shut the hell up and play dumb.
Yeah.
They're going to load it up anyways.
So that's how much time we got. How are we doing?
Ooh, we're almost at an hour. Should we save this for a second episode?
We can do part two, yeah.
Should we do part two of Spain?
Because you bought 5 altogether and we only...
Four, yeah. Four in the... Well, I've got another one to tell about,
All right.
Okay, well, let's cut it short for today. Anyway... I hope I didn't bore any of you telling these stories. Dan, thank you for bearing with me on this one.
Of course.
We will have Spain Part 2 coming up next week.
All right. Bye, guys.
Guys, take care.